Thanks, Robert. I'm going to step back and talk a little bit about social determinants of health. But in particular, I think when we talk about social determinants of health, we don't spend a lot of time, especially for HIV/AIDS, on that one social determinant of gender. And so within the small time that I have, 15 minutes, I am just going to examine, as we look at how gender interacts and transcends all of the other social determinants. And how does that look differently? And because this is our work with the Office of Women's Health, how do these determinants impact women and girls differently than it does men and boys? No relationships to disclose. So, as I mentioned, we're going to examine gender as an overarching social determinant of health and really see how it results in different health outcomes for women and girls and men and boys. So, this is an overarching question that I would like all of us to consider as public health professionals, as some of us who may be working in HIV prevention and treatment. How does gender interact with the social, economic, political, cultural, or environmental conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age that then results in an impact on our health? We all know that HIV, AIDS infection, acquisition, transmission does not occur in a vacuum. And I know recently CDC has been doing a lot of work around social determinants of health. And the angle that we would like you to examine and actually take time to review is that one factor, gender. And how does that, what does that look like for the people that we serve, the communities that we work with, when we're looking and examining social determinants of health and the many factors? Before we move forward, I do want to talk about HIV risk versus HIV vulnerability. I've only been working in HIV prevention for 10 years, mostly in the South. And so all of the interventions that we implement, all of them talk about HIV risk. And so when we look at HIV risk, it is the likelihood that as an individual, I may acquire HIV infection. It is very much focused on individual behaviors. But when we talk about vulnerability and social determinants of health in particular, we want to look at those external factors that are outside of an individual's control that negatively affect the ability to avoid HIV infection. Two very different things. And so again, when we're talking about the work that we do as practitioners, as community members, we really want to be very clear and distinct about what it is with HIV risk and what that risk looks like versus vulnerability. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we kind of analyze some few overarching ideas of the social determinants as it relates to gender. So really what I'm going to do is try to examine and analyze this is a model that's an adaptation from Poundstone, from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. And this was a model that they came up with that is a very specific social determinants model for HIV/AIDS in particular. And so I want us to look at this model a little bit more in depth, but from a gender perspective. So kind of putting on a gender lens to look at how all these factors then impact HIV/AIDS incidence, as well as transmission dynamics. More importantly, how do these factors then also contribute and impact health disparities around women and girls with HIV as well? So when we look at our structural factors, we talk about globalization. Globalization, right, free trade, it has, on the positive end, definitely increased opportunities for women and girls to work together on a number of different human rights and global issues that impact women and girls. On the other hand, when we talk about HIV infection rates, acquisition, and transmission, globalization has also contributed an increased sex trafficking and exploitation. We normally talk about this a lot on the international level, but the U.S. is severely, has a significant impact on sex trafficking within the U.S. and sex trafficking of U.S. women that crosses international borders. So again, globalization, demographic changes, migration, urbanization, male to female ratio, and I'll highlight that in a minute in more detail. Social stratification, which we always think about when we think about social determinants of health, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, gender, sexual orientation. Structural violence, racism, sexism, stigma, homophobia. Policies, so the economic policies are public health policies and social policies. And then finally, the last structural factor are law and law enforcement. So I'm just going to highlight a couple of these that I think are the most important. So when we look at social stratification, I am going to blend socioeconomic status and gender. And one of the things in the importance of doing gender work is that gender cuts across race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. What we do know is that overall, women have higher rates of poverty than men. And if we look within the United States, women in general earn 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. Let me examine that when we add in the layer of race and ethnicity. White women earn 75 cents for every dollar that a white man earns, and black women earn 62 cents. When we look at Latinas, they're down to 53 cents. Asian women earn 82 cents for every dollar a white man earns. Okay, so we can examine this not only by overall gender. When you start adding in those layers of race and ethnicity, you get completely different pictures. I do also want to say, when we talk about vulnerability for women, overall, since women are earning so much less than men, it does also talk about and impacts women's dependence on men overall economically. So what happens with transactional sex? What happens when a woman establishes sexual relationships just for financial gain to do what she needs to do, get those resources that she needs? And I don't want to also want to be conscious of when I talk about that, because there are also women who marry men of higher socioeconomic status, so I'm not just talking about sex workers. This is something that transcends all classes. Structural violence, do want to highlight gender-based violence. Women and girls are most often impacted by this type of violence. When we talk and look at the United States, there are nearly 5 million women, U.S. women, each year that experience physical or sexual assault and rape. And as we know, this has a huge impact on HIV acquisition. 1 in 2 HIV-positive women have a history of sexual or interpersonal violence, compared to 1 in 3 of HIV-negative women. Okay. Sure. So 1 in 2 HIV-positive women have a history of sexual and interpersonal violence, compared to 1 in 3 of HIV-negative women that have similar histories. Gender-based violence definitely impacts all genders, but there is a significant difference in its impact on women and girls. I do have to mention, we cannot talk about structural violence as well as law and law enforcement without talking about mass incarceration that's going on in the United States. We have over 2 million people in U.S. jails and prisons currently. The U.S. incarceration rate is approximately 732 per 100,000 residents in the U.S. When we start looking at, what does that build out when you're looking at the rate by sex? We can see that women, for example, rates of women that are incarcerated, it's 126 females that are incarcerated per 100,000 females. And then it goes up astronomically when we look at men. Men are approximately, their rate is 1,300 males that are incarcerated per 100,000 males. We add again that layer of race and ethnicity. 678 white males are incarcerated per 100,000 white males, black males, it goes up to 4,347 black males are incarcerated per 100,000 black males in the general population. This has a significant impact on sex ratio. What are the numbers and the ratios of males to females in certain communities? Okay, which also, and I'll highlight how that also impacts incidence of HIV infection. I cannot talk about incomplete structural factors without talking about law and law enforcement, particularly for women who are living with HIV and the several states that have HIV criminalization laws. We know that women are more likely to learn their status because we'll go, you know, during pregnancy, have HIV tests, and looking at the gender-based violence, interpersonal violence in relationships. There are many more women that are being subjected and prosecuted under HIV criminalization laws than men. Social factors, I just wanted to acknowledge, when we look at sexual relationships that may or may not be very distinct from social networks. Concurrent sexual partnerships are a huge contributing factor. Concurrent sexual partnerships are higher among men than they are of women. And it is really, really important to note when I talked about the rates of incarceration for black males, those male to female ratios, just by sheer numbers, concurrent partnerships are more likely to happen within African American communities. And then finally, after 30 years in the epidemic, we have really been focusing on the individual factors. And so we do know that biologically, women are more likely to become infected just by sheer looking at our bodies and the way they're built. We have a 2 to 8 times higher chance of transmission from male to female than female to male. So another risk and vulnerability for women and girls as well. So just to conclude, the gender inequalities for women and girls are evident, as we've mentioned, lower social status, higher rates of poverty, the higher rates of prevalence of gender-based violence, and again, the unequal power in sexual relationships, all of which result in different health outcomes for women and girls and boys, and men and boys. So what we're asking is for HIV program planners and managers to consider interventions at multiple levels. We can no longer afford to only have interventions at the individual level that impact individual factors. We have to go beyond just that individual level of health. And so I'm going to have Robert come back up and talk specifically about the types of, go back to our conversation on gender norms and how we could start looking at our additional programming that we can do.